from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'll give a little bit. I'll give a little bit of my love to you.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Dr. Scott Morris. It is Giving Day. I don't know how many of these we've done, Scott. I don't know how many of them you all have done over at Church Health. How long has Giving Day been Giving Day?
This is maybe the 7th or 8th year. We haven't done it forever. But
so I remember, I don't know, was it 3 years ago, you were on with me, and then you were on with Gary in the afternoon. And you called after because someone had been driving around and they heard the conversation and they called in and whatever, and they gave, I forgot what it was, but it was $50,000 or something like that. It was real. I mean, it was
a big number.
It was a big number. So I'm just saying, if you're out there right now, churchhealth.org, and let them know that you heard from us here.
Or you can call me directly. I can deal with that.
Call Scott directly. How do people give to, and what is Giving Day? What do you do on Giving Day?
So we have a budget of $27 million, real money that we have to raise. Our budget begins on July 1st. So Giving Day is just a way to focus on, people supporting the work that we do. You know, we provide health care for the people who work to make our lives comfortable. You know, if you're listening here, I guarantee you there's somebody that you personally know that's a patient of Church Health, but you probably didn't know it. You know, it's the person who cuts your grass, who cleans your house, who washes the dishes when you go to a restaurant. You know, those are our patients.
So just for example, you and you're no longer, you're still the founder. You're the person who founded Church Health, but you're no longer the CEO of Church Health. That's a new development. But you still see patients there. You still raise money there. You still are there all the time, right? So take me through just a little bit to give people a sense of what you do and who comes through the door. You were telling me just literally this week about some patients you saw.
So these days, mostly what I do is see patients through our walk-in clinic or urgent care. So the criteria to come to our walk-in clinic is I am sick today and I don't have health insurance. So, you know, your back's been hurting you for 5 years. That's not really sick today. But you come to us for some urgent problem.
By the way, if your back has been hurting you for 5 years, can they still come see you?
You can become an established patient.
You can become an established patient. Go ahead, 6 to 9.
But the cost is $40, mm-hmm. So it's the same no matter what your problem is. You got a cold, you got a broken bone, you're at death's doorstep. You know, okay. It's obviously a better deal the sicker you are, but for $40, it's a pretty good deal no matter what.
Okay.
So that's what I do. I mean, I see patients through urgent care.
So tell me who's come through the door this week.
I mean, just in the last week, I mean, two people come to mind. Somebody I saw yesterday, you know, who's Latino. I mean, you know, these days almost half of our patients speak Spanish. You know, they're the people doing the work that nobody else is willing to do. But he had fallen 2 weeks ago, hurt his wrist, gets up, keeps working. You know, that's what he does. His arm doesn't get better. He goes to the emergency room a week ago, and it's shattered. They put it in a splint, and then they, you know, give him the number of an orthopedic surgeon. He calls there. It's going to cost
And he doesn't have insurance.
No. It's going to cost $1,000 for the first visit, which he clearly doesn't have. He waits another week, comes to see me yesterday. I x-ray it. I mean, it is a terrible break. So a cast isn't going to fix it. But one of the best orthopedic surgeons in Memphis, you know, saw him yesterday and did the surgery to fix it.
Okay, what's the
cost
magic?
$40
Cost him 40. What's the magic there? How does one of the best orthopedic surgeons in the city come to see this working man?
Yeah. So every doctor in America goes to medical school primarily because they want to quote unquote help people. Now, along the way, it gets very complicated. You know, the way money factors into our healthcare system is crazily complicated. And it becomes difficult oftentimes for doctors to do what they went to medical school for. And that's what we give them the opportunity to do. See patients, knowing on the front end you're not going to get paid a dime. But for the most part, our patients are incredibly appreciative. They're grateful. And you're helping somebody who has nowhere else to turn. So in the course of almost 40 years now, I've only had one doctor ever just look me in the eye and say, no, I'm not going to do that. But we have 1,000 doctors now who are willing to do that. The best doctors in Memphis, that's who volunteers at Church Health.
How many patients, like this isn't some niche place. How many patients do you or do you tend to have, or people do you care for? What are the numbers there?
Well, the way I think about it, there are 80,000 people in Memphis who depend on Church Health. And that doesn't mean we see them every year or anything, right. But you know, if you ask them where you go to the doctor, they're going to say Church Health. Now, you know, some people may not only come, but once every 5 years, because right. You know, working people don't go to the doctor for no good reason. If they have a significant problem, though, they're going to turn to us.
This is a big question. Why do these people, like, why do you have to exist? You know, why don't these people have health care otherwise? And what was for them before you invented Church Health? How many years ago was it now?
Almost 38 now. I mean, Jeff, we don't have enough time to the sports talk show here. But look, one of the big problems is that Tennessee has failed to expand Medicaid, Obamacare. You know, I'm endlessly hopeful that that might happen, but I'm not holding my breath. You know, people think that Medicaid is health care for the poor.
Right.
It's actually not. In order to get Medicaid or TennCare, as we call it in Tennessee, you must be blind, disabled, over 65, or a single mother with small children. Which means if I take away every penny you have, you never right. have a chance to earn another cent for the rest right. of your life. You won't actually qualify for TennCare because you don't meet one of those categorical criteria.
So then folks go to the emergency room.
Yeah, so they go to the emergency room, and emergency rooms are actually for emergencies. And my guy with the broken arm is a good example. I mean, there's not an obligation to actually do that surgery.
There is an obligation. I can't just turn him away at the emergency
nope.
room. I can't say we only take rich people to this emergency
That's
room.
Right.
I can't say that.
We're
going
to see
you.
We're going to x-ray you. We're going to tell you your arm is broken, and this is what you need to do, but you're going to have to do it outside of the hospital. That's all the obligation that there is. I mean, look, I'm not saying that they need to have more of an obligation.
Right. You've talked to me about this before. Right now, hospitals and emergency rooms are incredibly overburdened, right?
Our hospitals are struggling mightily despite the best work that you could imagine from our hospital administrators. You know, both Baptist and Methodist are struggling mightily for a lot of very, very complicated reasons. It's not because they're idiots or they're doing stupid stuff.
Right.
It's because of a series of factors that have made it a perfect storm. But I do believe they will come out of this storm.
Is that one reason? So you have all these doctors who open up their hearts and
well, and the hospitals do too.
That's what I was about to ask. I was going to say, and the hospitals do too, partly because out of it makes sense for them because they don't want all these folks washing up in their ER. It's cost effective, but they also work with you as well, right? What do they do?
Well, they've developed charity pathways that we work with them on almost on a daily basis, so that, you know, we vet somebody's income and do they have health insurance? Is there going to be a way for them to pay for the surgery? And once we've determined that they're not, then the hospitals are willing to move forward and essentially admit that patient's for free. They're not going to get a bill. It's a small miracle. It's the way
that's incredible.
It should work in America. And I think we've created a system that actually makes that possible.
It's Church Health. It's Giving Day. Your dollars will be matched dollar for dollar today if you give. Go to churchhealth.org if you are so inclined, and you should be because it is a tremendous. It's funny. One of the things I say, I'm terrible at asking people for money. I'm terrible at whatever else. And your perspective on this is, well, what is your perspective on it?
Look, nobody wakes up and says, what I want to do today is go ask people for money. I mean, that's right, not right, something everybody right. does. But, you know, giving and the whole idea of philanthropy is a reflection of who you are as a human being. Your money and how you spend your money says a whole lot about
your values.
Your values and your heart. And so, you know, my job is to give people the opportunity to give. I truly do believe that's what it is. By asking people to support our work, it allows that person, whoever's listening here, to be able to say, I care about the work they're doing. I care about my neighbor. I want to offer some help. I'm not a physician. I can't volunteer, but I can send Church Health $25, and it will make a difference.
It's amazing to me, with all of this, the $27 million, is that what you said?
That's our budget.
That's right. Every year. You've
right.
got to go out and raise that again new every year.
That's why we have Giving Day. but it's not just one day. I mean, this is a year-round
that's
endeavor.
Extraordinary. So all these years ago, when you came and started this this endeavor, you've talked about why Memphis, and you literally said it was the poorest place on the map, right? I mean, that's
right.
Sort of, you were, one of the interesting things to me is that people talk about people leaving Memphis now. It's one of the great fears. People are leaving, you know, oh, what if everyone leaves Memphis? And I think one of the inspirational parts about your story is that you came to Memphis because of the opportunity to make a difference in Memphis. And it feels sometimes like that's lost a little bit. Like I really do believe it's one of the miracles of this place. There's so much need and so many people who actually do roll up their sleeves and make a difference that running, it's like the firefighters who run to the fire rather than people who run away.
Look, I don't say it just about the fire, but what I do realize is that, you know, if you want to go do good in the world and you want to go to Atlanta, you want to go to Nashville, you want to go to New York, nobody's going to give a flip. But if you want to make a difference in Memphis, Memphis will embrace you.
Right.
You know, if you care about Memphis, Memphis will care about you.
Did you have any idea when you started it that you started with how many people?
There were seven that first day.
Seven that first day. And you opened your doors and people wandered in. And now how many do you have over at Church Health?
We have 250 employees. And then, you know, 80,000 people who depend on us. I mean, we see about 300 patients a day. And that goes from not just the physician component of this. We have an amazing dental clinic. We have an eye clinic. We offer counseling. We have a nutrition center. You know, we're the anchor tenant at Crosstown Concourse. We have 150,000 square feet there. I mean,
that's incredible.
We are one of the key elements that help develop Crosstown.
I want to ask about that in a minute. Most of your patients work?
Almost all of our patients work. I mean,
do you have to work to be one of your patients, or what's that? How does that?
Have to work, but that is our niche. You know, our niche is for people working in low wage jobs. But you know, once you turn 65, if I've been your patient for 20 years, we're not going to kick you out. We're, you know, if you have Medicare, we'll actually take Medicare in that situation. And we see children as well. I mean, that's, you know, we actually have two pediatricians on our staff now. So growing our pediatric population is an important piece of this. And like where this matters is, you know, if there's a Latino family, they have four children, you know, two born in Mexico, two born in America. Well, the two born in America actually do qualify for 10 care. The two born in Mexico do not. But we take care of the whole family. You know, so we'll see the parents and we'll see all four children.
You can get fairly passionate about the ways that we think about and treat Latino, our Latino population, can't you? You had a stat about, it's not leaping to mind.
Well, you know, the average amount of time that somebody who's Latino in the United States is not 2 weeks, not a month, it is 10 years. But one stat that I think ought to open people's mind. Last year, the undocumented population of America paid $15 billion into Social Security, fully understanding from the government side they will never have to
because they have to pay Social Security taxes.
A variety of reasons they pay into it. But without their contributions to Social Security, it would collapse.
You do seem to...
of this is that if somebody is building our houses in Germantown and he falls off the roof and breaks his arm, we have an obligation to take care of him. I am certain of that.
Well, all of this, and for you, it's rooted. You have your degree in divinity school and your medical degree, and of all of this is rooted. I had a hard time believing this, but I talked to you recently, and you literally said you hit upon this path when you were in high school from reading the Bible. Like, this is all rooted in your belief about what the Bible says and the New Testament says that we should be doing.
I don't think it's my belief. I think it's what it says.
You're dreaming of pitching for the Atlanta Braves, and you're reading the Bible, and what are you discovering?
Look, the Bible is clear about following Jesus. It doesn't say very much about believing in Jesus, but it says a whole lot about following Jesus. And to do that, you're expected to do three things: to preach, to teach, and to heal. You don't get to take a pass on the healing part. You know, if you want to follow Jesus, you better be involved in a healing ministry, or you're ignoring a third of the gospel. I don't think anybody wants to, at the end of time, look God in the face and have God say to you, "Did you think I was kidding about that part?"
Tell me about another patient who came through the doors this week. Do you have another example? You told me so. The guy with the broken arm.
I have obsessed over this one guy who is just incredibly sad in that, you know, he's in his late 50s. He's white guy who is a handyman, does a million things, very subdued in the way he presents himself, but had been having a problem in his neck. It didn't feel right. Just let it go on for a year and a half because he was uninsured and he didn't know what to do and he was afraid and he knew he couldn't pay for it. And so he had a baseball-sized thing in his neck, which is no doubt that it's cancer. The good news is that he paid his $40 and is now seeing the best ear, nose, and throat cancer doctors in Memphis, and they will give him the best care possible. You know, I just wish we hadn't had to wait so long.
And that moment of indecision, like that moment of like knowing you should go to the doctor, but feeling totally hopeless because you don't really have access to a doctor. You don't have insurance, whatever else.
He's not stupid. He knows what it costs.
Right. He knows what it costs. It's churchhealth, churchhealth.org. When you opened up, over on Madison. It was on Peabody.
Peabody.
You opened up on Peabody, and you had one little... Did you just have one little house, and then you expanded into the houses right next to Bontai over there, right? It was right next to Bontai. But then you moved into Crosstown.
Right.
You didn't just move into Crosstown. You helped make Crosstown possible. by the fact that you took this leap of faith. And it was a, correct me if I'm wrong, a former punter from Ole Miss who was an art professor at the University of Memphis who came to you with an idea about an artist colony or something, and you didn't, like, throw him out on his keister?
That was Todd Richards.
What happened exactly?
Well, on July 8th, 2011, so just over 13 years ago, Todd Richardson, who was an art historian at the University of Memphis.
And a former punter from Ole Miss. Right?
Right. The world's expert on the Renaissance painter Peter Bruegel, who I'm sure, Jeff, you know all about.
Love Peter. Love the Strokes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Todd came to talk to me about the idea that he and his artist friends had of turning what was the Sears Distribution Center that had been abandoned since 1992. There are 3,200 windows. Every last one was broken. It was surrounded in barbed wire. It had gotten to be, why would gangs write anything else in the building? What more was there to say? They wanted that to become an artist colony. Uh-huh. Trust me, that was not a financially viable idea. You know, all they wanted of Church Health was for us to be their doctors once they moved in there. But we had grown into 13 buildings, had become very inefficient, and what I said to him in 2011 was, well, what if we move in there with you? So I married one crazy idea with another crazy idea. We joined hands, and for the next 3.5 years, we become developers until where we are now. There are 54 entities that have signed long-term leases to be in the building. There are 265 apartments. Every last one is rented, and it's amazing what $300 million can do to an abandoned building.
It's a joyous place, too. When you walk in, it's just a joyous place.
And it's that way every day. And you know, we think of it as a vertical urban village built around health, education, and the arts. And I meet people who still haven't been to Crosstown. And look, if you're listening and you've never been to Crosstown, just come in. And if you don't have your mouth drop open, then come to me and I will buy you a coffee at French Truck.
French Truck is a fine coffee establishment down there. And you walk in now, it's really kind of amazing because if you, well, there's a YMCA in there and there's
Church Health YMCA. It's 25,000 square feet of Church Health space we've contracted with the Y to manage.
I see. And so, but then there's this whole dental facility that's extraordinary. And Dan Barron, who used to, he's talked about this openly, which is why I will, but he used to, run this place. He's gone to New Orleans, and but his brother came to y'all. And I don't really think about it this way, but dental care, and particularly poor dental care, is a real barrier to getting anywhere in life. I remember Jerry West used to tell a story about his brother who bought him teeth, who paid to have his teeth fixed because he didn't think he'd amount to anything if his teeth look all, and that's sort of something that you're dedicated to helping with.
Look, dentistry is an economic issue. You can't go from a minimum wage job to a better job if your teeth are all messed up. It is not going to happen. So fixing people's teeth, it improves their sense of self, it improves their health, and it actually helps them get a better job.
Oh. All right, it's churchhealth.org is where you go to give. It's Giving Day. And it is a one-to-one match on Giving Day. So every dollar you give will be matched by another dollar. Now, as I mentioned before, you turned 70, which is why I guess you decided to sort of, I say you didn't step down. You stepped sideways, whatever. You're still at church.
I have this new phrase I've learned. Maybe other people know it, but I did not know it. I have rewired.
You've rewired.
Yes, I like that.
How hard is it to... You're no longer the CEO. You dreamed up this place. You created this place. How hard is that to do?
Look, if Church Health was just about me, that would be a terrible thing. So the greatest feeling I could have is knowing that it will go on without me being the CEO. And I am 100% confident that that will happen. Jenny Robbins, who's been our chief financial officer for the last 17 years, is now wearing that title. You know, she and I have worked together literally side by side for all these years. I have all the confidence in the world in her, and she is going to lead us to much brighter thing.
You have assembled a team of Jennies. Is that not right? Like, for some reason, you've zeroed in on the... You've got a corner on the talented Jennies in this market.
Yeah, our chief operating officer is also named Jenny. And at this point, you know, all the senior leaders at Church Health are women. They're all women. And this incredibly diverse, you know, we have brown, we have black, you know, we have white. I mean, we got it covered.
It is truly a miraculous place. And it's a privilege to be able to talk about it every year on this day.
Let me, one last thing. We are about to open our new eye clinic.
Okay.
And the reason why this eye clinic matters, just as dentistry, you know, if you're poor and you're having a heart attack, you go to the emergency room, you will get a bypass operation. If you're poor and you're going blind and you go to the ER, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not seen as an emergency and you will go blind. So we have built a new eye clinic that will open just in a few weeks. We're doing this in partnership with the Hamilton Eye Clinic and University of Tennessee. Methodist and Baptist are involved. This is a crazily complicated thing. But we will address the four leading causes of blindness, which are diabetic retinopathy, macular degeneration, glaucoma, and cataracts. We will be doing 30 vision-saving surgeries a month. And I don't know what could be more biblical than that. You're getting poor people who are blind their vision back.
You talk sometimes about what you think are the keys to life. Three things?
Yes.
What are they?
Joy.
Joy.
Love.
Love.
Being drawn closer to God.
Okay. That third one, what does that mean to you? How does one define that, and how do you think of that?
So it's not just about what you believe. I think the experience of God is driven by how we live our lives. You know, church for me is what happens at Crosstown on a daily basis, and it's not just what happens at Church Health. You know, God is something that is around us at every time, but we have to find a way to pause and open our hearts so that God can speak to us about how life can be so rich. You know, we spend so much time feeling alone, feeling isolated. But those things around joy and love flow into an experience of God because it is greater than we are. You know,
and that's why
it's not just about me.
That the experience of volunteering or the experience of giving, those things... It's not just waking up in the morning and deciding you want to be closer to God. By doing those things, you find yourself being drawn and more aware of the presence.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think people feel, why does God abandon me? Because I'm sitting here praying or thinking about God. I just don't think it works like that. You know, you have to be able to engage the world. You have to care about your neighbor. You have to not just talk the talk. It is ultimately about, are you reaching your hand out for that person who has nowhere else to turn were it not for you? I mean, you are literally the hands and feet of God in these situations, and I think that's what God calls us to do.
Scott, thanks very much. Churchhealth.org today on Giving Day. Every dollar that you give to Church Health will be matched 1 for 1.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.